How you all doing? Everyone's forgotten. Now the answer is not as good as you're looking. Let's do it one more time. How you all doing? That'll do. Thank you. Oh, look, I'm blushing. Not. That was a good prayer. Thanks, Dan. The idea that we would share something from here to there, the idea would be that the Spirit of God would get on it and do an act that, you know, I might have come up with some thoughts that may or may not appeal to anyone, but rather the Word of God would actually accomplish a work in our hearts and our lives. That's the goal. And so that's certainly my goal too. I'm grateful for that prayer. I feel a real strong sense of God being on what I want to share this morning, so I'm confident in what He wants to accomplish. I have a sense of that, a real excitement in my spirit about it, and so let's just believe Him for that. Wonder if you'll just join me in prayer. I'm going to invite you just to stand if you don't mind. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every good work, every good and pleasing gift, every good thing, which we know that you have goodness in store. Lord God, I thank you that you're in a good mood. I thank you that your intent is to show your love and your blessing to your kids today. I thank you that you've got good things in store for us today. Wow. Father, I thank you for the authority given us in Christ Jesus. And so now in the name and the authority of the King of Kings, I'll cancel every assignment of disruption and every purposeful work of the enemy that would hinder the Word of God penetrating hearts and minds today and bringing transformation. Father, I thank you that you've got good news in store for us. I thank you that you have intentional, strategic plans of freedom for us today. So in the name of Jesus, let your word penetrate and bring much fruit. And everyone who agreed with that said, amen. 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 You can sit down. Glory to God. Some of the stuff that I want to share from it's, I'll just give it to you bit by bit. I feel to share on sonship today. I want to share on the spirit of sonship, and the exciting thing for me is that where I feel like the Father showed me last night a way in which He wants to take this, it's going to blow your mind. Like, this is really going to, I think it's going to surprise you, and it's going to release for you something very glorious. If you'll track with me just for a bit, the spirit of sonship, that's what I want to talk about. And just unpack it a little bit. So I am a son. Yeah, I got a dad who's pushing 86 years of age and a great man. He's been really quite remarkably good to me as a dad. I have a father-in-law as well. I'm also postured as a son spiritually to a couple of fathering leaders. And so my heart is to explore sonship in all its fullness. Now, there's a move of God, a move that is turning the hearts of the sons towards the fathers and the hearts of the fathers towards the sons. There's a configuring, a reconfiguring of sonship, and there's a bringing on of a maturing of people in God to stand as fathers. Now, when I talk about sonship and fathering leadership and that sort of thing, please hear me, I'm not talking gender-based because, I'm talking men and women, sons and daughters. I'm talking, just the language of Scripture tends to be about sons and fathers, but it's male and female, it's not either or, yeah? I figure if it's okay for men to be a part of the bride of Christ, that's the church, us guys can be part of the bride, well then women can be sons and daughters, or they can be sons and fathers rather as well. So if I kind of skip into that language here, I'm just not talking about gender at the moment. I'm talking about a posture of the heart. Is that all right? Okay, so having said that, there's this move of God that's turning hearts towards fathers or mothers, if you like, and hearts of fathers and mothers towards sons and daughters. And it's all about an attitude of the heart. Some of us have got dads. Some of the dads we never got to meet. Fair call. And so what's been represented in the earth, in earthly fathers, perhaps isn't the greatest kind of start point for how do we explore sonship. I just want to say that because I just recognize not everyone's had a good experience in that. But I am talking about an attitude of your heart, a posturing of your heart. And a posturing of your heart as a son, because I've got two myself, right? And I'm watching the posturing of their hearts. This morning, I watched the posturing of my 12-year-old's heart as he filled out fictitiously a care card by Jeff Vills. I don't have a son called Jeff Vills, by the way, who lives in Yeats Drive in Canopy Avenue somewhere, right? Who has a prayer request, and that is that he would receive his Ferrari. So, sons, in fact, and a daughter, and I know what sons can get up to. Please don't fictitiously fill out your care cards. It's not helpful. Sons, some of you may know, we had an opportunity to pray for a lady recently who, actually a few months ago now, who was in hospital, been in hospital many, many months, and we as a family came, gathered round her and prayed for her, had a massive hip operation. She was in hospital for months and months, and my eldest son started to pray a very nice prayer about her healing, you know, God would accelerate her healing. And then my daughter got into prayer, and she has a real gift for prayer. So she prayed, and I went, oh, I hope I can pray as good as that prayer. And then our youngest got up and prayed, and his prayer was so eloquent. He's a son, right? He's praying in the authority of Jesus that, you know, this lady would be healed. And this was his prayer: poo your pants, devil, you're an idiot. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Proudest punch I was. Interesting prayer, right? Sons. We almost had World War III out here this morning playing handball because the rules started to change. Sons. Just saying. Some of you, I wonder if you'd consider as a son or a daughter, well, you might rate yourself. How have I gone in the sonship journey? Have I been a good son, a good daughter? Have I, you know, what are the attributes that come with being a good son or a good daughter? Have I postured myself? Now, I'm not going to talk too much about fathers in this context, because I think the end goal, here's the revelation for me, the end goal of our journey is not being some great, wise, spiritual, you know, mature someone. Actually, the end goal for us as Jesus followers, as Jesus worshippers, is sonship. The end goal for us is being sons, daughters. That's, it's, you know, be some grown-up, mature, you know, father's lead. No. The end goal is sonship, because the guy that we worship, the guy that I bow down on my knees and honor and give my life to and for, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the full representation of God. He's not a little bit of God. He's not even a kind of casual reflection of God. He's not even a really comprehensive attitude of God. He's the fullness of God, the full representation of God. And he is God the Son. He's a son. You want to understand what God is like? You want to comprehend the fullness and the most amazingness and the full dimensions of God? Son, or we could say daughter, an attitude of the heart. Wow. So maybe if the end goal, the end game of what I'm kind of moving into is not trying to grow up and be, you know, all sensible and whatever, but actually to be properly fashioned as a son. And I feel it just very strongly. I feel like the Holy Spirit's on it as well for us today. I'll just give you a couple of scriptures, and then hopefully it'll all work in together at the end. It's one of those messages, some ideas, and then, oh, that makes sense now. Jesus said this, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, God's kingdom is like this. A man was wandering around in a paddock and he found a paddock, and in the paddock he found a truckload of treasure. And he said, man, nicely fenced off paddock here, truckload of treasure. And so he went and found the owner of that land and he said, I want to buy your land. He said, Jesus said this, he said, he sold everything that he had and purchased that land. When I hear this story, God's saying this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. A bloke stumbles across hidden treasure in a paddock. And what he does with the hidden treasure, he goes and empties his bank accounts and he buys the land. So therefore he owns the treasure, right? Kind of go, gee, that seems a bit, I don't know, is that honest? Like, I mean, are you meant to kind of tell someone I found some treasure, or how does that work? But I think, again, the attitude of the heart, Jesus is actually saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like you're going to discover something that you didn't build or accomplish or gather or collect or earn or grab some, you know, some investment dollars on, or it wasn't, you know, it's just literally free treasure. And when you figure out free treasure, this is how free the treasure, this is how amazing the bank load is. This is the incredible nature of the kingdom of God. It's so worth everything that you sell everything you got just to buy a block of land, just to buy where you know that treasure is. Kingdom of heaven is like a man who bought a block of land with a whole pile of treasure in it. There's treasure stored up for you. There's actually treasures, there's kingdom wealth massed up for you, massed up for sons and daughters. I want to give you another scripture. This came to me in worship. Thank you, worship team, for helping to focus us in worship. Romans 8:19 says this in the Passion Translation of the Bible. It says this, the entire universe is standing on tippy-toe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. All of creation is standing up on tippy toe, waiting to see the sons and daughters of God being revealed. Not the old men, not the incredibly wise people, not the mature fathers or whatever. Actually, the sons and daughters. You get the language? The goal, the end game is sonship, a posture of the heart that would say, you know, I'm here to serve, a vision to serve, a person to serve, from a posture of the heart, to offer my heart upwards to a father, to a fathering leader, to a spiritual mum or dad, to this posture of sonship. And the entire universe is just waiting, standing on tippy toes. Like, what a picture is that? Like, we're talking about sonship. And we're driving here and my son has my mobile phone because he had to somehow find a phone number. But, of course, when a son has a mobile phone, do you think he's just going to look for the phone number? Not a smartphone, right? He's Googling. Oh, Dad, I'm just looking at planets. I found Uranus. It's just below your knees. Just above your knees. Thanks. Just above your knees. Right. What? Sons. But all of creation is on tippy toe waiting for sons and daughters to be revealed. Sons. Sons, you're feeling my pain? So if our end game is sonship, and what if full maturity in our journey looks like a posturing of sonship? What if it looks like the fully established work of God that is the demonstration of God, which is Jesus, a son? So then I want to encourage you, let's have a little look at our hearts and our postures. The scripture says this in Romans 8:15, the spirit that you receive does not make you a slave. That's good news. Everyone say, not a slave.
Not a slave.
Not a slave. The spirit that you receive doesn't make you a slave. So we're talking about posturing as a son or a daughter. Not talking about being positioned as a slave so that you would live again in fear, but rather the spirit that you received has brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, by the Spirit that we've received, we cry, Abba, Father. We actually refer to God in intimate sense of Dad, Daddy, Papa. And many people actually pray that in their prayer language. They'll rather than say, oh, Holy God, they might say, Hey, Papa. You know, there's this intimacy that's given to us by the Spirit of sonship, by the Spirit of adoption. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit. In other words, there's a witness inside of us that we are God's children. And if we're God's children, sons or daughters, then we are heirs. And if we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. The scriptures say our Father God, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Do you reckon God's bank account's sort of lacking? Anyone? No, he's not short of a quid, our God. You know, he's not struggling to make ends meet. He's managed to hold the entirety of the universe in his hand and keep it functioning. And you, postured as a son or a daughter, are a co-heir with Christ, a co-heir with God. The inheritance is unimaginable, your inheritance. You know, I want to encourage you about the posture of sonship. That requires a degree of humility. It's lovely to think I could posture my heart in humility to a father, to a fathering leader. Maybe not to your mum or dad, depending on how that went. You want to still figure out that you could honour the position of mum or dad, whether the mum or dad were great. But in the natural sense that I could position my heart to honour a fathering leader. I love Andrew Meller's fathering leaders, you know, in this faith congregation. So many times you'll hear, even this morning it came out again, an affirmation of who you are based on who mum and dad are in the house here. You know, how beautiful is that, right? And so the idea that I could in humility offer my heart or position my heart as a son to go, wow, you've been, you're ahead of the game on me in this, and I can position myself under you in submission to you, willfully, willingly say, you know what, I'm going to you, this is what the spirit of sonship looks like. Now, we get real antsy now because, hold on, if I'm in a position of humility, if I am submitting myself under somebody, well, they'll probably bring a really big stick, won't they? Or they'll make life really, really miserable because they'll then obviously try and control me out of the game. The invitation to sonship is a spirit. It's a spirit that actually witnesses in your spirit. Your spirit and Holy Spirit, they witness together and they go, oh, I'm a son, I'm a child of God. And if I'm a child of God, then I got an inheritance that no one can match. And it happens through humility and grace. It happens in submission. And it's beautiful and it's liberating and it's so the opposite of the world. But it's a spirit. And I feel like it's to encourage you, it's actually a work of Holy Spirit. It's a God job. It's an anointing. It's this, the presence of the Spirit of God to come upon you that brings alive in your heart, I actually want to submit. And I actually want to bring honor. This is the language of sonship. I want to honor up. I want to honor those around me. I want to be in submission to one another and those around me and over me. It's an attitude of the heart, and it releases an incredible witness in your spirit. Sometimes we sing the song, you know, I'm a child of God. Did we sing it today? I don't know. You did? Yeah. Yes, I am. I'm a child of God. And we can sing that and go, yeah, that's nice. When your spirit is leaping inside going, this is so true for you. I want to get back to inheritances because this is where I feel like we want to get to today. The Spirit himself, the Spirit of God can testify inside you, can confirm and witness inside you, you're a son, you're a daughter of the Most High God. The Holy Spirit witnesses with your spirit and you figure it out. Ha! I'm a son. there's nothing more glorious than God the Father saying to you, son, daughter, cherished one, champion. There's nothing more glorious than the affirmation, the personal affirmation from heaven, which every single son or daughter knows. The way in is humility and submission and honor. The way in, it's glorious. You don't get to testify to the spirit of son. He's dragged before the Romans and they want to whip and flog him, and Jesus just goes, yeah, no, I don't think so, not today. No, not gonna do that. Actually, I'm not real keen on the cross either, so I think we'll pull the plug on that idea. I've got a better idea. I think I can save the world another way. I think I can bring salvation to other people in a different manner. No, Jesus actually went, I'm going to submit even to the most brutal of authorities, even to the most brutal processes. I'm going to submit to my Father. Jesus never did a thing other than what his Father said to do. He never said anything other than what his Father said to say. Here's a man postured in humility, postured in honor, postured in sonship. And what's his inheritance? Well, you're his inheritance. You're his glorious bounty. You're his treasure. You're the treasure hidden in a field that he's sold and given everything, including his life, for. You. Imagine you knew that. Imagine instead of the voices in your head that say you're trash, you're crap, you're rubbish. Imagine instead of the self-depreciating humor that you might use on yourself, imagine instead of the I'm nobody of any real significance narrative that runs through your mind, imagine instead of that, son, daughter, co-heir with Christ, glorious, treasured one. The affirmation, the personal affirmation of heaven. Here's what I'll pick up on and land in today. It says this in Isaiah 49 in the Passion Translation. Yahweh says, that's another way of saying God. God says this, I told you I spent time with the Father and he's in a good mood. God the Father's in a very, very good mood. And it says here, for you, hear it in your heart, the time of showing you favor has come. Now, I don't know what that looks like for each person individually. The other story, I know the idea of not living in favor, I don't want that, but I tell you what, if someone's announcing to me that now is the time to experience my favor, God's favor, that's an exciting thing for me. That brings my heart alive, right? Right now is the time for you to encounter his favor. It's a time of showing you God's favor. He says this, I will answer your heart's cry. Now, I don't know what your heart's cry is. But I know that when things get a bit dark and bleak and maybe you're by yourself and you're shut away and in the moments of solitude, I know your heart cries out just like everyone else's. Whether it's God, make this stop, or whether it's God, give me this, or whether it's God, please fix that, our hearts cry out. And the word of God for you today is this, I will answer your heart's cry. I will help you in the day of salvation. This is our God. He will help you. Aren't you glad you got the God who wants to help? Aren't you glad we don't serve a God sitting back with the rule book saying you better do enough good? No, we serve, we worship Jesus. And he says this. For I have fixed my eyes on you. Remember, we're talking about sonship. Those of you who are parents in the natural, how many have actually had a baby? Guys or girls got a baby, little one, had gone through that process. And you know When they fix their eyes on you and you fix your eyes on them, something utterly incredible happens, doesn't it? Doesn't it? When you look on a little baby and your eyes are fixed on them and their eyes are fixed on you. This is what God the Father says to you. I've fixed my eyes on you. You have filled his gaze. Thank God our God is an intimate and close God. And you filled his gaze. He's fixed his eyes on you. It says this, I have made you a covenant people to restore the land. And get this, to resettle families on forgotten inheritances. To resettle families on forgotten inheritances. It was a couple of weeks ago now that Dan and I had the privilege of having lunch at $500 a head. That I didn't pay for, glory to God, with Australia's richest man in Australia's richest piece of real estate, his home in Vaucluse. That was an interesting experience. Anyone heard of Mike Cadden Brooks? Anyone heard of him? He's a guy who he and his buddy came up with this tech company and all of a sudden they go ballistic and it's global and then in a matter of moments, he's worth $20 billion, right? And so one of the things he does is comes back to Australia and he says, oh, I'd like that house over there. It's Lady Fairfax's house. It's called Fairwaters, right? Cool $100 million for a house. $100 million. It's the most... $100 million for a house. Now, this guy understands inheritance. Can you imagine? I went over and shook the guy's hand and I'm chatting and I'm thinking in my mind, you know what? He could just give me $1 million and he wouldn't have a clue. Come on, you would have thought the same thing. Australia's richest man, he's on $20 billion, a cool $1 million. He wouldn't have even thought of $1 million. No worries, here you go, Craig. There you go. You know, like as if he walks around with what? He could just give me a lazy mill. Like he could probably give me $2 million. Like what does he care? He's got $20 billion, right? I'm thinking, man, somewhere along the line, he did really well and he's flourishing. But I want to pick up on this theme in Isaiah that says forgotten inheritances. Because I'm convinced, I had this revelation just ministering with a family last week around a hospital bed. And I felt God the Father say to me, how many forgotten inheritances do you reckon are in this room? It was in a little hospital ward. And then I began to wonder the same thing this morning. How many forgotten inheritances are there in the room? How many things that really should have been rightfully your possession? You know, that really things in life should have gone a different way and things should have set you up much better than they have. You know, things that came and chopped away at your very existence, at your life and things that just didn't land properly and if only and maybe it could have perhaps. And it didn't land. Or what about even a few generations back? Or why isn't it that Mike Cannon Brooks isn't my dad? You know, that'd go okay. My son's prayer request for Ferrari might have come through. Oh, his favor. His eyes are fixed on you. Just think about it. God the Father, you fill his gaze. You fill his gaze. And he's saying, and now I want to show you my favor. And it's time to restore the forgotten inheritances. There are dreams in your hearts that you'd forgotten long ago. I'm not even talking about stuff you gave up on. I'm talking about stuff you can't even remember that are inheritances for you. Like this stuff goes back through eternity. There are inheritances for you. Even your grandparents and your great-grandparents didn't pick up and could have. And God had it for them, but they didn't run with it. Right? It's inheritance that's for you. And God the Father wants to restore your inheritances today. Is that good news? Yeah. Aren't you glad he woke up with a good attitude? that the Father was in a good mood just happened to be for eternity past and future. He wants to restore forgotten inheritances to you. If this is making sense to you, I'm going to invite you in a moment. We're just going to come and I feel to pray for people and to release a spirit of sonship on you and to call into now your forgotten inheritances. I know this is making sense to people. And I know that I'm in a room full of people who probably at some stage or other went, I don't know why, but things didn't play out the way they should have. And things went haywire and I missed it. And God's saying, you don't miss it. You don't miss it. In fact, he's making a way for us to reach into eternity past and gather the inheritances that are yours. Now, only sons get inheritances. Only sons and daughters get the inheritance. You can't be the hired help or the slave or the person working on the side for the company or the family and get the inheritance. Only sons and daughters get the inheritance. Would you just stand with me? I'm going to invite us to pray. If you just where you are, just stand with me. And what I want to do is I want to make sure that through Christ as sons, children of the God in heaven, our Father God. And so if in the room this morning you're actually aware, gee, I've never asked Jesus to come save me. I've never asked him to come and rescue me and to make me a child of God. I haven't actually prayed that prayer or moved into that process of properly handing my will and my life over to the God of my understanding. And there's a God in heaven whose eyes are intently focused on me today, and I'm ready to do it. It's a moment of surrender. It's a moment of submission. But I don't want to presume that people here have done that. And so if today you're going to make a decision in your heart, I actually am ready to hand my will and my life to God, to position myself as a son or a daughter in God's kingdom, and to invite Jesus to rescue me. If that's you today, I'm going to invite you just to come and join me down the front. Just right now, if you go, oh, today is the day I'm going to hand my will and my life to Jesus, to the God of my understanding. Just come on down. Thank you. Thank you. Just come on down. Today, I'm actually going to posture myself as a son or a daughter to the Most High God. I'm actually going to surrender. I'm going to witness to the fact that I'm a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Maybe there are others who have never done it before and you actually want to go, today's the day I've got to do that. I've got to hand witness in my heart that I'm a son or that I'm a daughter, where the Holy Spirit says to you, you're a son. And when your spirit goes, yes, I am. I'm convinced of it. I know it. Is there any others? Is there anyone else today who actually needs to take the step and go, I'm handing my will and my life over. I'm going to identify as a son to the Most High God through Jesus. I don't want to miss it. I don't want you to miss the opportunity. Okay, so I'm just going to presume that everyone else has made that decision in their hearts. Father, I thank you that today is the day of salvation. And in Jesus' name, I release salvation upon the men and women here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that there's salvation through no one else other than Christ Jesus alone. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, that you rescue us, not to slaves, not to people subordinate that have to serve their guts out, but rather as sons and daughters who get to inherit. Hallelujah. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release an inheritance upon these sons and daughters that is full salvation, a confidence that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And I make this prayer in the name of Jesus. And everyone who agreed said,
Amen.
Amen. Now, here's what we're going to do. Worship team, could you come and help us? While the band's playing, I want to invite all of you who want to reconnect with those forgotten inheritances. Those of you who go, you know what? There's stuff that I missed out on along the way and I'm calling it in now because now God wants to show his favor. Now his eyes are fixed on me and now he wants to resettle me in forgotten inheritances. Friends, you might not even remember the inheritance that was rightfully yours. It might go back generations, right? Or it might be something fresh in your mind this morning that you can recall. But we want to restore those. We allow the Spirit of God to restore. I'm going to pray a simple prayer of sonship. Release the Spirit of sonship and call in those forgotten inheritances. So worship team, why don't you lead us? And as we worship, I'll just come around and we'll pray. Come forward if you want to experience those rest.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song.